want you to do is take your Bibles with me this morning and open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to read just one verse. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, NLT. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. When you're there, everybody just say, I got it. All right. If you can't catch up quick, it'll be on the screens. You can just get it there. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Father, one more time we come before You and we pray that Your presence would fill our hearts. You filled this room because Your word says where two or more are gathered, there You are. And I pray, God, that You speak to our hearts, speak to each and every one of us individually, as well as corporately, as a church. Lord, I pray, oh God, that You would use me this morning to speak Your word. I pray that You'd open up, my God, every ear, every heart, my God, to receive what the Spirit of the Lord says, what You want to say to Your people here this morning, Father, and all those in the sound of my voice. We love You, we give You praise, and I pray for a seven times greater anointing. I pray, God, for a double portion, Father, of what You want to pour out in Jesus' name, and everyone said. One more time, the Bible says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now at the day of His return is drawing near. Think about that, what it says there for a moment. The Lord is instructing, He says, don't neglect gathering together as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the body for a reason. That's kind of like saying, you know what, your blood needs to stay in your body, or else the body doesn't live. In order for the body to function, it needs the blood to flow through. That's why whenever, you know, the arteries start getting hardened up, you got to get them, you know, drilled out. Because you need your blood to flow. And the body requires each and every one of us to participate, or it's not a body. It says, don't neglect meeting together, as some people do. What that means is, obviously, sometimes we're not able to be at every church service. We're not able to be at every function that we'd like to be at. But it is it's not a rule. It is a desire that everybody in the body would want to gather together. And I'm going to show you why in just a little bit. But He says, encourage one another. The reason why we come together is to encourage one another. Walked in and saw Greg over here today. He's been sick for the whole last week. I said, how are you feeling? I'm feeling so much better. I've been in bed, wet, resting. I go, good. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to see. You come to church to be encouraged, but you also come in church to encourage people. And we look at that, and I love what He says here. He says, the writer says here, especially now that the coming of the Lord, the days drawing nearer to Him coming home. I don't know about you, but, you know, for the very first time in the history of our earth, there has been four hurricanes that have lined up, Category 4, that have lined up themselves. They've never lined up before like that. There's a significance to that. I can't get into that message today, but also we know about the four blood moons that have happened since up to last year. Everything prophetic in Revelations, everything prophetic in 1 Thessalonians and in Daniel, most of those things have already come to pass. We know that the time is near. Now, we know that the time to God is like a day, is like a thousand years. So we don't know when the day is, because Jesus said no man knows the hour but the Father. But we do know this. We know that when we're starting to, when our pants don't fit us anymore, we need to lose weight or get a different size of pants, right? We know that. Those are the signs. And so if we know that, then we ought to easily, we know that the leaves are the wind's starting to blow in the wind. They're going to start turning a little gold. Now the green's going to go to gold, yellow, and they're going to fall. What does that tell you? It's fall. Winter is coming. And I'm so amazed at how many of us, we can tell when those things happen, but we can't tell that the Lord's coming soon. It's like the Bible says it'll be like the days of Noah. They'll just be marrying and partying and carrying on. By the way, Wasn't that an amazing marriage wedding yesterday? Wasn't that powerful? Oh, what a day, man. Devin and Leslie are on their honeymoon. Sorry, Pastor Renee. I forgot you were here. It's good to have Pastor Renee and Maria here. Amen. They married their daughter off yesterday, and I'll tell you what, she was so beautiful. And Devin looks so handsome. Amen. And he's like this now. He smiles a lot already, but man, he's really smiling now. I want to talk to you this morning about the reasons why every believer needs to be in a local church. There's a lot of movement going around the earth about people saying stuff like, I don't need to be around a body of believers. I don't need organized religion. I don't need this. I don't need that. But I'm going to prove to you in the scriptures how each and one of us, if we say we're a Christian, that we are that means we're the body. And by the way, especially to you macho men, the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. That means I don't care how big your mustache is. I don't care how much time you've done, homie. I don't care. You are the bride of Christ. All right? Just want to get that. Doesn't mean you're a girl. It just means you're the bride. But I also want to talk to you about the importance of attendance, of consistent attendance to church. That word attend can be so clinical and so lawful. So I want to change the word to connect and community. The word connection, the word community. See, what happens when people are hurting, when people are seeking? I ran into a few people this week that I gave my card to with all the services' names, and they said this. He says, you know, I'm really going through a lot. I need to get back to church. I saw one of the young guys used to come to church when he was real young. He's a boxer. And he goes, hey, pastor. He goes, I'm going to boxing again, man. I'm ready. And I go, man. He goes, where are you guys? Where'd you buy? I heard you bought a building. I go, yeah. He goes, I want to come start coming to church. I really need God right now. And I thought, something happens when people say, I really need to get to church. I haven't been to church for all. I really need to get some healing. Or I really, man, my marriage is in the rocks. I really need to get some counseling. When people start seeking God, there's something that happens. And what that is, it's called community. Because when you begin to get with the body of Christ, there's something about community. We had communion a while ago. We had communion with the Lord. And we all showed solidarity with ourselves, and we lifted up our hearts before the Lord, and we all examined our hearts, and we worshiped God, and we asked God to cleanse our hearts, and we did that. We were communing with God. We were a community together. Now you'll have to go off later on today, and some of you will go with some people, but most of all, you'll go to bed by yourself tonight. You'll be alone for a moment. Tomorrow you'll go work with other people, and you're off in the world. But there's something about having the community that comes together and connects, and that's why people say, I got to get back to church. That's why people sometimes, they say, you know what, man, I've been missing church a lot, and I got to get back to church. Why? Not because of the building, or not so much because of the actual service, but because of the people. Because the church is not a building. The church is not a name. The church is the people. God, Jesus calls the church the people. And if the people don't gather, there's no church. If the people don't get together, there is no church. There's connection and there's community. And that's where people find purpose. Ultimately, what happens is the whole family's impacted. Maybe not right away, and even sometimes they're right away, and then they kind of drift off for a while, but eventually we all come running home. A purpose is a reason for even existing and being. I don't know about you, but I know I don't exist for just nothing. I exist because God has a purpose in my life. Everything that God does has purpose. Everything that He made has a reason for existing. Yes, even flies. What a bummer. You know, they're fighting for their life right now, man. They're those sticky ones, man. They're coming around like, get away from me. I had one in my truck today. I was driving it with I had my shorts on, and I'm driving over here to go do some work, and that thing kept on. I had to stop and open the door and chew it out because it was like, just, I'm not going. I'm like, why do they exist? There's a specific purposes that Jesus intended for the church to accomplish. We can't do it without the church. Knowing those purposes is so important for every believer. That's why when we offer things like the life flow, which you're going to be hearing more about next week, it's going to be powerful, that there's a purpose for it, for the church to accomplish its purpose. But more so that you can understand how much God loves you. See, the law of purpose states that unless you know the purpose of a thing, you're more likely to either neglect it, misuse it, or abuse it. The reason some Christians neglect the local church is because they really don't understand its purpose in their lives. There are many people today who have rejected God as their Father. And then there's many that have received God as their Father. Many who don't love Jesus. And when you say Jesus, they get embarrassed. And some who just love Jesus to the bone, they don't care who hears about it. But those that love the Lord, they are mistaken if they think they can grow spiritually just alone. There's times when I've had to just grow alone. And there's times in the future I'm going to have to just be alone and grow in God. But and with no formal connection sometimes, but you cannot exist in the body of Christ if you're not part of the body. It's like saying, I'm the hand, but I want to hang out over there down the block over there, and you guys go wherever you want to go. And then once in a while, once every year or someone, then I'll come over there and attach myself to the arm. You can't do that because it'll dry up. If your arm gets cut up, it'll dry up and it'll die. It'll be over. It'll be done. So we need each other. No one, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. The foot cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need each other. Come on, somebody. And because of technology, it's so easy to just watch church on TV or on the internet or on your phone or, you know, great, amazing technology we have. So good, the tools are beautiful that we have. You have to be on the road driving, or if you can't be out, you can get on the podcast and listen to Arch podcast. You can get online and watch one of the other Victory Outreach. You can watch anybody, Jensen Franklin or T.D. Jakes or whoever people watch. You can watch it on there. That's good. You have access to the gospel. But a lot of people are no longer attending churches because they can sit there and they can turn it off whenever they want. I like you, T.D. Jakes, but you're getting into my business now. Oop, you're out. Let me switch to Joyce Myers for a little while. And then Joyce Myers just stick you with like a bayonet. She's so funny, and then she'll just get a bayonet and go, here you go. Like, turn her off. I'll put her on next week when she's talking more about, you know. And a lot of people do that stuff. Even being in the ministry, serving in the church, in the ministry. Sometimes people think that they're doing ministry is enough. You know, if you're doing ministry and you never go to an altar call, if you're doing ministry and you're never studying the Bible, you're just doing ministry, you're in love with ministry, not with Jesus. I can tell when somebody's just in love with their ministry and not in love with Jesus, because I've been doing this 30 years now. And I'll tell you right now, as your pastor, I love that you find your purpose, and I love that you serve in the ministry, and you're serving, and you do things for God. But I really don't care about that anywhere near as much as how much you love Jesus. I want you to be in love with Jesus and ministry flow from your life. Not in love with the ministry and maybe get some Jesus. And there's a lot of people that do that. They're very busy all the time. Super busy. Have no time for God. No time for prayer. No time for the Word. So, that's why we have shifts in our ministry. That's why we have many things going on in our ministry where people can be involved in the security ministry, the usher ministry, in the worship ministry. And we have teams where people can be off one day and sit there with their Bible and their highlighter and get a word and maybe come to the altar if they need to. Why? Because it's important. We all need to worship together. We need to hear the word preached. There's a specific anointing that comes on that preaching when it's preached during church. Now, I read a story the other day that really grabbed my attention. And it's about the Chinese Communist government. They've just announced, this is just fresh this week, they've just announced that it is banning children now from attending any churches in China. They're stopping. They're actually going to churches and pulling families and kids out. You cannot attend. Even the government-run churches, because the only way you can really have a church a legal church in China is to have a government-involved kind of church. So, they're banning them, prohibiting any youth from not only participating in religious activities, but from even joining any Christian groups whatsoever. So in order for the church to exist in China, it has to go underground. There are millions, and they say over 4 to 5 million Christians in China. Most of them, about 85% of them, are underground. They can't just say, you know, I'm gonna go to Victory Outreach Sunday. And you come and show up and worship the Lord. There's just something about that name. You're like, ooh, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps, that name of Jesus, and got some communion. I made it on the right day. Awesome, man. And, you know, I'm not serving in kids' church. I'm in here getting a hold of God. And that day you come, and you have the freedom to come and go and as you like. And if you want to come back, you come back. If you don't, you don't. And if you're a leader and you say, oh, well, you know, I love my church, but I got some other things to do too. And you can just do whatever you want because America. This is America. You pretty much have, you know, you have freedom. But in China, you can't do that. You can't even join a church. And if you do join a church and you mention the name of Jesus, they will arrest you. And if you try to take your kids, let me read on. China's Communist Party controlled government long has tried to stamp out the faith. It has banned churches unless they are affiliated with the government, imprisoned pastors and lay leaders, and discriminated against churchgoers. Lately, government officials have removed crosses, all the crosses from any church buildings in China. They went and removed them. Churches are now called, the China government churches are now called children no-go zones. Now why? What is so important? They're just kids. They're just little kids. They don't care about the Lord. They're just hanging out, right? No. The kids are the next generation. That's why in the days of Jesus, they try to kill him. That's why in the days of Moses, they try to kill him. That's why, because they know the kids are pure. The kids have if they learn about God, they'll become loyal to the Lord. The Bible says if you train a child in the ways of the Lord, when he's older, he will not depart. Let me tell you something right now. Our kids are getting Holy Ghost messages right in their classrooms right now. We have real teachers that are there sharing the gospel and sharing the love of Christ and teaching them how to forgive one another and how to say they're sorry when they lie and how to be honest and how to have character. And they're teaching them at their level. Why? Because if the children get it, it'll be in the fabric of society. And in the fabric of society, there will be some loyalty to God. There will be some purity and some holiness. But if the kids don't get it, then we become a depraved nation. And China has actually said, we will not allow the children to believe in that God. Yet we get to come and go as we please. They don't get to go on as they please. They have to get their little worship on when they can get it on. You know, my dad told me a story about communist Cuba, and I know things are changing there. It's still a communist country, but they're starting to allow. We have a church here. Allá tenemos una iglesia. El pastor Abel está allá con su esposa, y la iglesia está creciendo mucho. It's growing. The church in Cuba is growing, but there's still communism there. And I want you to know that my father told me one time, he says, son, he goes, what I would do, and I told him, well, how did you do when you were preaching? You know, I thought it was communist. He goes, yeah, what happened is the communist police would show up, and when they did, I would change from reading the Bible and my glasses, and he goes, I would change, and I would just start telling them my testimony. Yeah, when I grew up without a father, and I became a drug addict, and I was a gang member, and man, my life was all messed up. He would just share that stuff. He couldn't share the gospel because they would arrest him right there. And I thought to myself, goodness, man, we have it made. There's hundreds and hundreds. We have 500-600 churches in Albuquerque alone. What are we doing, man? What are we really doing? Do we really value what we have as a church? Not just Victory Outreach. I'm talking about the church in general. We take for granted church. We take for granted. I believe we take for granted having been able to come in to come to church. We can make so many excuses. Like I've told you the old story, I don't know how many times I've said it, maybe 40, 50 times. Sometimes when I feel like not going to church, I tell Barb, I'm not going to go to church because you have to. And I said, but I don't want to. Because you have to, babe. And I said, well, why? Because you're the pastor. Well, okay. Let's go. We take for granted coming to church. See, the Lord designed the church as a distribution system. There are many things that Jesus distributes to his people exclusively through the local church during services, during the weekly services, not just Sunday, but Wednesdays and Fridays and all the times we gather. The Lord intended us for us to be transformed, to live a transformed life in a community type environment with a bunch of other believers. Why? Because when there's more for us, man, I tell you right now, I don't know about you, but when we pack out the church and we're filled up and things are moving, I don't know about you, but as a believer, I feel like, man, we could take the world. When there's just a handful, we got to fight a lot harder. When there's just a handful, God gets the glory and everything, but we still got to fight a lot harder. It's not as encouraging. Come on, somebody. Knowing the purposes that God intends for us enables us to do what he said. Now look at some of these purposes. Amen. I want to speak to you about how important it is to belong to the local church. When a child is born, he or she is automatically become a part of a universal family called human beings. Hello, somebody. But that child also needs to become a member of a specific family to receive nurture and care and grow up healthy and strong. Not all the time with their own family, sometimes through adoption. But needless to say, children need to be part of a family. The same is true spiritually. When a person gets born again, gets saved, they become part of God's universal family, the church. But that means that you also need to become a member of a local church that expresses the fact that God is a family and God has body. It's the body of Christ. Now, why is it so important? Because it proves, first of all, it proves that you're committed to the Lord, committed to your brothers and sisters, and not just in theory, but committed. And sometimes you say, well, I don't want to be committed to that person. I just want to be committed to God. Well, like I say this all the time, you can't love God and hate the body. You can't love the head and hate the body. You got to love everybody. When we're called to follow Christ, we're also called to belong to the body of Christ. This is called community. And when Jesus walked the earth, God worked through the physical body of Christ. Today, he uses the spiritual body of Christ. Come on, somebody. The church is God's instrument right here on earth. It is the tool that he uses. We are his hands and his feet, his eyes and his heart. He works through us. When you go to somebody and you say, listen, I know you're going through some things. I love you. I'm praying for you. It encourages them. You become the hands of the Lord. You become the encourager of the brethren. And we all have contributions to make. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 and the Message version, he says, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Yet one of the biggest hurdles I have as a pastor is convincing attenders that they need to commit themselves to the church, to the family of God. Today's culture is independent, man. It's called independent individualism. I don't need anybody. I love the Lord, and you do. But it's created a lot of spiritual orphans. Muchos huérfanos allá, they're out there just alone, not a lone ranger, but an orphan, spiritual orphans. They move around from church to church trying to find their place. Moving around and back and forth and no church and some church. Or simply just don't attend church at all. Many attenders are consumers, but few are contributors. The Bible says that we are to contribute our gifts. We are to find our gifts. In this upcoming life flow that we're going to start next week on Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, we're going to start something called the life flow. It is going to change you. It is going to revolutionize you. It is going to teach you things you never knew. It's going to rekindle things you once knew, and it is going to enlighten you to things that you've always wanted to know. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be amazing. But listen, it is not just for the homes and the leaders. We have designed this for our church. We have designed this whole life flow to meet your needs. Many of you say, man, the church doesn't really meet my needs. Well, we can't get you. We got to lasso you sometimes. And then you cut the rope. Everybody say life flow. Come on, say it like you mean life flow. We want to see you at the life flow. We want you to sign up. You can sign up today at the information table. If you say, you know what, I'm not a Facebook goer, but I asked him, how many people do we have likes on for Jackie Velasquez? He said, 211 people are very interested, extremely interested in coming to the concert. I'm like, have they bought tickets? Because they're interested. It don't mean a whole lot to me. Did they buy a ticket yet? That's what I want to know. We want to pack this place out. So today, if you want to go to the concert and you say, oh, I love Jackie Velasquez. I love her husband, Nick. I love Salvador. I love Holly Star. Then you got to get a ticket today. We want you to sign up for the life flow. Sign up today. Literally go back there and get to the information table, see Lisa and say, listen, I want to sign up for life flow. Where do I sign up at? Just say, I'm signing up for next week. And then we're going to do orientation next week. It's going to be powerful. See, there's several biblical reasons, and I'm going to jump on them real quick. Amen. I'm going to be fast because I want to finish early because the crew, Jackie's crew, is showing up here in about 30 minutes or so. They're going to start moving in. They're taking everything out. They're going to start setting this place up. So I'm excited about tonight. You? All right. There's about 19 of you. Where's the rest of you? Amen. There's several reasons why every believer needs to become. First of all, number one. Everybody say number one. A church family identifies us as genuine believers. Oh, where does the biblical say? Well, 1 John chapter 13, verse 35, New Living Translation says, Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You say you love people all the time, but unless you hang out with them, unless you're with them, that's not really love. That's love from a distance. That'd be like if I said for Sister Barbara, I love you. I want to stay married another 40 years. The first 40 years were awesome, but I'm going to love you from over here. No, I'm going to love her right there. I'm going to be with her. So death do us part. Romans chapter 12 and 5 says, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs to be with each other. We need others. See, it's our identity. I don't know about you, but when I walk around, I love my special shirt that says, God changed my life at Victory Outreach. This is the way I walk when I go to football games. I go to a lot of football games. My grandkids are, man, I'm all over the place. I'm in Home Depot pretty much every day, renovations. I'm all Walmart. I'm everywhere. And I wear that shirt and it says, Jesus changed my life at Victory Outreach. This is the way I walk around. And people, this is what people do. I'm not kidding you. People do this so much. Then I have many people, hey, pastor, how you been? I haven't been to church in a while. It's okay. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying you got to come back to church. Where are you now? I'm so grateful. I hardly ever hear that anymore, but I heard it the other day and it bugged me. Where are you guys at now? I tell them, we bought a beautiful building. We're right there behind Hayden High School on Zuni and 435. But I'm having a hard time getting people to come all the time. They just come whenever. Whenever they desire, whenever they want. Thought I'd throw that in for free. But I identify with Christ. Jesus changed my life. Where? At Victory Outreach. Calvary Chapel does it with big old banners on the freeway. Copper Point does it. Don't be embarrassed of your church. They're not embarrassed of their churches. You know, you already know you got people at work that try to get you to go to their church. They're called proselyters. Don't try to get people from other churches. I don't want them here. Don't do, oh, you go to that church, you should come to my church. Don't do that. That's called proselyting. We like sinners. I mean sinners that are not saved. Those are sinners still. They don't know it. They're sinners, but they're saved already. They're saved sinners. But we want sinners that have not got saved yet to come to these altars and get saved, and we'll disciple them and raise them up to be leaders in this church, in this community. Identify with your church. When people ask you, where are you going to church? I don't say, oh, well, I'm going to go. Oh, that drug addict church. Say, drug addict church? You talking about my pastor? We're not a drug addict church. We just got a special anointing to reach drug addicts. I can't say enough about that. When we come together in love as a church family from different backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, ethnicity, social status, financial status, it is a witness to the world that God can do anything He wants to do with whoever He wants to do it. No one believer can be the whole body on their own. We need others in order to fully express the shape that God has given the body of Christ. It is when we are together, not separated, that we are His body. Nehemiah told the builders on the wall, he said, listen, stay close enough that if you need each other, call out on each other so we can encourage one another as we fight and we build for our family. It's a place to experience the Lord. A church family moves us, secondly, out of being a self-centered type of person or self-centered isolation. Too many people isolate themselves, especially now if you have an iPad and an iMac and an iThis and that and a phone and you're just all surrounded by a virtual world and you're living in a fake world. You need to rub elbows with somebody. The local church is the classroom of the Holy Ghost. It's the hospital for the Holy Ghost. It's a place for learning how to get along in God's family. Imagine if you have four kids and you have four bedrooms and you put each one of them in every bedroom and you feed them separately and you only let them play by themselves and you never... No. You know how your mamas are. You guys all get in that room right now. I don't care how filled with the Holy Ghost you are, how special, how you pray. You get in that room right now or else. They get all four of them get inside there together, and you better get along. Don't you dare pull her hair again. You're going to learn, but girl. Buddy, don't you kick her. It's the Holy Ghost, right? That's how families grow. You put them all together. Some of you, you can raise your hands if you want, but how many of you grew up in a one-bedroom house with all kinds of brothers and sisters? Come on, lift your hand. Let me see that. Look at that. Oh, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. You had to learn how to get along. If not, you were in trouble. You know how mama would throw that shoe and go around the corner? It still hits you like a boomerang. It is a laboratory for practicing unselfish, sympathetic love with people you'd rather not. Oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing that again. What? As a participating member, you have to learn how to care about others and share the experiences of others. Then hold on a second. Change drive. $12.99.31. Are we in fourth place now? We're in third place. Next week, we're going to bump. If one of the part of the body is honored, then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, then we all share in its honor. When one of you graduates school, college, or something, or anything, we just like all of us are honored. Say, God, I get to know them. When one of you are blessed, but guess what? When one of you loses somebody or somebody's hurting, we also grieve with you. Why? That's what a body does. Only regular contact with ordinary believers can we learn how to really fellowship the way Jesus. Do you think all the disciples got along? No, they didn't. Peter was a big mouth, and James and John were always bragging about who was going to sit next to Jesus in heaven, and you know all that stuff. They had some competitiveness. It was hard. It was difficult. But they had to get together. They had to get along. Many Christians, who know John 3:16 are not aware of 1 John 3:16. You know John 3:16. Oh, for God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16 says, Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters also. This is the kind of sacrificial love that God expects us to show each other. And that means coming to church. The church community provides a spiritual family to support and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, if any Christian is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. It places us under a spiritual protection, a covering. It gives us accountability that we need. Thirdly, it's a place of discipleship through God's word. That's where we get discipled. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Come on, somebody. Every believer needs to regularly hear the word of God, the teaching of God's word every Sunday. That's what we get together on Sundays and Wednesdays. And if you're ever around the home on the morning at 7:30 in the morning, man, we're there. I'm on there on Tuesday mornings, man. Man, there used to be about chapel, boy. The home's chapel is awesome. It's off the hook. I'm telling you, the environment there, Dave, and Savannah and Jolene, that atmosphere there on Tuesday, when I go there in the morning, man, it's easy for me to preach there. But I know they've been praying for an hour. I know they've been worshiping, man, and I don't care what they're going through. That something happens there, and that's easy for me. That's an easy preach for me. I'm telling you right now. There is nothing like anointed preaching in the local church that brings transformation. It's a Holy Ghost hospital. And when the church gathers to hear God's word, the Spirit of God begins to speak to the speaker to equip God's people so that their lives not only can be transformed, but they can help other people change. There's a difference between just reading on your own. I love my alone time, my devotion time. In fact, I put a devotion time every morning on Instagram, and I get my word for the day. It's my word of the day, but I share it. But there's nothing like getting in the body and hearing a word of Pastor Rick Alaniz come up here and talk about chopping off the heads of the devil, or Pastor Sonny talking about vision, or when Pastor Ed was alive, he would go up there and talk about you better get right or get left. And, oh, there's nothing like that. There's something about that, man. I hear a little snippet of Rod Parsley talking about, you better get your life together, brother. I'm like, there's something about anointed preaching that touches my soul. The purpose of the local church is preaching and teaching. It increases our faith. It renews our mind. It brings correction and it protects us. It provides prophetic guidance and needed inspiration. There was a lady that walked in here to buy a ticket on Wednesday night late, about the middle of my message or the beginning part of it. She just came to buy a Jackie Velasquez ticket. That's all she wanted to do. She came in here like that, and then she came and sat down and she was at the altar call. I saw her. I'd never saw her before. And at the end of the service, I preached on tithing because I couldn't get that last Sunday. So it's Wednesday night. If you missed it, hopefully they'll put it up on the webcast, on the podcast soon. You can listen to it. But she came to me and she said, Pastor, something happened to me in the service. She says, I want you to know I got this large amount of money, an inheritance, and I gave my tithe, and somehow my family, we've lost all the money now, and we don't know what to do. And I was so devastated. But in that message, God spoke to me. God used you to minister to my life, and I don't even come to this church. I just came from another church to buy a ticket for the concert, and oh, my life is changed. Something happened. I'm encouraged in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, sister, thank God, because I was preaching a whole different message. And 5 minutes before I preached, the Lord changed my message. He said, I want you to go back to Sunday, and I want you to preach what you didn't preach at the end of the message. The last point you were supposed to share, you couldn't do it because of time, but I don't want you to hold back. So I didn't hold back. I preached my guts out on Wednesday night, and she got touched. I don't know if the rest of you got touched, but she got touched. Because God had a prophetic word for her to help her understand what God was doing. A church family helps us develop spiritual muscles, man. Psalms 36, verse 7 through 9. Now, come to the keyboard. I'm almost about done. 36, 7 through 9 says, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your rivers of delight. You see, there's a river that flows from this pulpit when all our preachers, we got fabulous preachers, man. Ladies and gentlemen alike, they're fabulous speakers, man. When you come on any given Sunday or Wednesday, and when I'm not here, one of the other pastors will preach, and man, they preach with their hearts, man. There's a river that comes out of this house that will fulfill your thirst. I'm telling you right now, with the anointing that these preachers have, I believe with all my heart that God has anointed us for such a time as this. The Bible says, for you are the fountain of light, life, the light by which we see. So in other words, the house of God The fourth reason I believe it's so important to be part of the church is the body of Christ needs each one of us to be the body. God has a unique role for every believer to play in his family. I love it when one of you find your spot in the church. You see them operating their purpose. Man, it blows me away. It's so awesome to see that. It never gets old. It gives us a place to discover our gifts. And you're going to learn more about that in the life flow. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encouragement. That's what church does. It encourages. Being part of the body is encouraging when you're going through things. You're struggling, man. I get calls. Well, come to church Wednesday. Come on tonight to church. They come. And they come to the altar call and say, you know what? Man, thank you for telling me. You could have been real easy and said, oh, brother, just pray. No, no, you come to church. Get with the body. Get the Holy Ghost hospital. Get some healing on you. The book of James tells us in chapter 5, verse 19, the Message version, if you know people who have wandered off God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. Go after people, man. Some of you are like that. I mean, I'm blown away. Some of you are constantly bringing somebody that needs God. Number 5, a church family can help us, literally, it can help us from backsliding. Sometimes people will backslide when they ain't got nobody around, but they continually. See, no one is immune from temptation. Not you or I, nobody. God knows this, so he assigns us individuals, friends, and family, and fellowship. That's why our life groups are so important. That's why things outside of church are so important, fellowship. See, because Satan loves detached believers. He loves the people who are unplugged from the church, from the life of the body, isolated from God's family, and unaccountable to spiritual leaders, because he knows they are defenseless and powerless against his tactics. But if the devil, if you're with me, I'm a fighter. And if you're with me or my wife or any of our top leaders, and you're there, and the devil comes and tries to mess with you when we're there, it's like we're jumping him. You ready? Let's jump him. We're not gonna let him die. But when you're alone and won't answer your texts or your phones or emails or anything, you're all isolated, not even at another church, or trying to hide in some other church where you don't belong. I'm not saying that that's not a great church, it's probably a fabulous church. Not where God called you, but you're trying to hide there and you're feeling uncomfortable. The music's phenomenal, the lighting's phenomenal, the building's phenomenal, but you don't feel comfortable. But then you come over here and like, that's because you're called. Everybody's called. There's some people called to that church. If you're called here, that's where you ought to be. Quit trying to hide someplace else. But if you're by yourself someplace, even in a church, and you don't know anybody at that church, and nobody's there to fight with you, you're all alone in your temptation. But if the devil comes and tries to mess you with you on our watch, you better watch out. You better watch out. Because we'll shondo. The Christian life is more than just a commitment to Christ. It includes commitment to other Christians. It is commitment to church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 5, Paul said to the church of Corinth, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. We have to remind those every day. Being connected to the local church provides us with so many benefits. A place where you worship. It's a place to fellowship and build friends. Lifelong brothers and sisters, discipleship, learn, ministry, avenues and opportunities, evangelism, learn how to share your faith. And that spiritual covering I talked about a little bit. I wish I had more time to go into it. I'll preach another message on spiritual covering and accountability. But we all need a roof over our heads. Come on, somebody. We need a spiritual roof over our head. Are you ready to do that? See, a covering is not for the purpose of controlling or caging people's cares in. It's a place of protection, man. I'm my wife's covering. I protect our house. We have a roof that protects our house. You need a protection over your house. The local church is a community of believers who are living transparently with one another under the oversight and covering of spiritual leadership, pastors, shepherds. The pastor and the leaders of the church are responsible, according to Hebrews chapter 13. We're responsible, man, to guard your souls and to do warfare on your behalf. But if you're missing an action, we don't know where you're at. You change your cell phone number and you don't give us the same. We don't know how to get a hold of you, so we can pray generally. But unless we know specifically, it's a place where we have marriages like we had yesterday, in a place like we have funerals like we'll have this Friday. Time for sometimes celebration and sometimes for tears. Water baptisms, we're having this coming in a couple of Wednesdays. Communion, laying on of hands. We can lay hands on the sick, dedicate children, appoint new church leaders, pray for those that are going into missionary work, those that are going to UTC, imparting spiritual gifts. It's a family, man. It's a family. It's, you know, see, when you're not in a church, you're like a football player without a team. You can't win. You can't win. And lastly, it's a place where you find a God-given vision and purpose. See, God gives you something worth living for. Where you get saved, see, what's next? Well, you know what? I have a purpose. I'm committed to that purpose. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 19, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. See, a Christian without a church is an orphan. I believe it's so important for us to position ourselves in the church and think of it as not an institution, but a living being, a living, breathing organism, man, that's constantly moving, water flowing. Since the 1960s, Americans have become increasingly anti-institution. They use the phrase organized religion with contempt instead of love. On the other hand, people are longing for a sense of belonging. Everyone senses to belong somehow. Some of you never got picked on a basketball team or a baseball team. Some of you that crowd at school, they didn't pick you. They didn't invite you to their house. And you understand what it means to be isolated and alone and broken sometimes, man. It's tough. I don't know about you, but I want to see anybody feel like that. Most people, a lot of people don't even talk to each other, stand in the same room and text each other. They don't even look each other in the eyes anymore. They don't even want to communicate face to face, man. One Gallup poll reported that 4 in 10 Americans admit to being frequent feelings of intense loneliness. Americans are, in fact, the loneliest people in the world because they're isolated. Huh? Everywhere you look, there's signs that people have a deep hunger of fellowship. They want to know. When I drive past this Walmart right here, there's people. We stop. We minister. Everybody ministers to them, but the men and women that are on those streets. But I'm going to tell you something right now. People are walking around like zombies alone. They just need somebody. They need the church. Amen? Let me think about every liquor commercial that you see that you'll see on football games today. They're not selling liquor. They're selling fellowship. You never see somebody there. Never. With a bottle of Jack Daniels sitting there by themselves. Lonely. You always see him with a really pretty, pretty gal. Another good-looking guy. You know, models. They're all by the pool. Excited, like, whoa. They don't show that girl over there, you know, hugging the toilet. At the end of the night. Alone. Miserable. Killing her liver. They don't show that. They just sell the fellowship. Because the world wants fellowship. If they can't find it, they'll find it wherever. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's like we need each other, man. It's always in the context of people enjoying others' companies with phrases like, it doesn't get any better than this. I had a great time last night. I was at Sean and Alicia's last night watching the fight. That was a real boxing match right there. We had a blast. We had fun, fellowship. We yelled, we screamed, we cried at the end of the fight. We said, that's not the truth, and all that stuff, you know. We're an extended family to your family. You have a family, we have a church family. We extend. If you've never noticed the phrase that we use, a people you call family, a place you call home, this church cares for you. This church cares for you, man. I know you may say, well, I don't know, they're not. Well, first of all, if we don't got your cell number, if nobody knows, if you're not accountable to anybody, nobody has a covering, nobody's trying to lead you, then we're not going to know. If you don't connect, we're not going to know. We can't read minds. We cannot. We're not into that. We're not into psychic. And even if we did, that's sorcery. That's demonic. So we don't know. We don't know what you're going through. Sometimes people are in the hospital, we don't even know for a week. I was in the hospital. Like, nobody called. Well, we don't want to bug nobody. Are they calling? You're calling now. Why don't you call us 5 days ago? You know? One of the greatest values our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, has emphasized in our family is that we're a big family. I don't know about you, but I love my family. I love my children, my grandchildren. I just texted my, right before that, I forgot his happy birthday. He's at the Denver Broncos Stadium about to just put a whoop on them Broncos. Man. Oops. I love what we do. We love what we do. I'm glad we're connected to our church. Are you? I love this vision. I like to stay connected to it. Before I got saved, man, I was in the neighborhood. I had homeboys. I was involved in sports. Man, I was in the fire department. I had my brotherhood there. I was in the Navy. I had my brothers there in the Navy. When I see some people, I met a guy the other day that was in the home in 1972. His name is Johnny Ramos. Yeah, his name is Johnny Ramos. I looked at him to see any resemblance, but another resemblance. He goes, is Philip LaCruz still around? Because I was in the home, in the 4th Street home in 1972. I go, wow. They call me Air Force Johnny. I just thank him. I go, thank you for serving the Air Force. And then he really started telling me about his testimony. I was like, ooh, come on, this Victory Outreach. But I love talking to people about Jesus and about God. So what's holding you back? What are you connected to? What life group are you in? Are you getting ready to go in the life flow? Or is that like, oh, I don't want to go to nothing. I want to go home. No, 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 man. See, the leaders, the homes, the interns, all the new disciples, there's no option for us, but we're asking you to join us. I need you and you need me and we need each other. We have to make a decision that we're going to be, that this is my church and I'm a member of it. Buy you a t-shirt. Start tithing. Do whatever you got to do. Connect yourself to the church. Come and pray with us. Do all the things that we do, that church does together. Go out and evangelize together. Because Sister Barbara and I, we love you. We want to get to know you more. Listen, we're not exclusive people. We can't read minds. And there's a time for everything. The time to fellowship and a time to war and fight and time to get out there. But there's sometimes we just got to get together. Winter time is that time. We're going to get intimate and we're going to get together at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights and we're going to fellowship and we're going to learn and we're going to get a hold of God. And we want you to make sure you come out for that. Some of you that we've never had to have dinner with, we're going to have dinner with. Some of you have never been able to have lunch with. We're never going to be able to have lunch with. Why? Because sometimes we're all separated. You go your way, we go our way. But we got to figure it out. Come on, somebody. What are you connected to? Who are you connected to? The Bible says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of return is near. Think about China. Think about how you have access to the church whenever you want. Everybody in Deming can go to your church, Pastor Renee, anytime they want. But in China, they can't. Maybe you ought to preach that to them too, that story, and say, hey, man, don't take for granted our church, because what if we were living in a communist state? People couldn't come to church. You might say, well, I don't, so it doesn't really matter to me, but yes, it does. Because one day, everybody say one day, they're already trying to kill the church, man. Come on, somebody. It won't be long, and they try to stop us too, man. You know that. We need to worship together. We need each other. We need to serve the Lord together. We need to covering together. Listen, I want to make an altar call. I want you to bow your heads this morning. I want to make an altar call for those, first of all, who have not made a commitment to serve the Lord, who've never given their life to the Lord. You're the first person I want to talk to. Second person I want to talk to is for those of you that have been a backslider. You drifted away from God, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. And lastly, I want to talk to those who need to connect to their church. For the first time, say, finally, I'm going to connect to my church. Or maybe you say, I am connected. But after today, I realize that I need to recommit myself and my family to my church. I don't know which one of those you fit into, but if you're not saved, I want to pray for you. If you're a backslider and you're running from God, I want to pray for you. If you're not connected to the church, I want to pray for you. Or if you're connected, but you realize you need to make a recommitment, I'm going to ask them to sing this song, and I'm going to open up this altar to you to come and find a place at this altar and connect to the Lord, connect to our church, connect to each other. Come on, from all over this place. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Father.